Hey, y'all. Welcome. Glad you're joining us. This is Winning at Life, live financial news talk radio. I'm excited about the show. We have good news, and it happens very often nowadays, so we'll share that with you in a few minutes. We've got some Social Security topics. James just handed me something regarding questions you might should ask yourself if you're buying life insurance. I think that's good. I might guess one of them. Are you healthy? If you are, it's easier.
Actually wasn't in this article.
But that is something you have to think about. For as an advisor in one of my roles in my day job, I'm always evaluating health, even if I don't directly ask it. Yeah, we're full of information here on Winning at Life. It's live financial news talk radio. Hey, if you're looking for life insurance, like, why do I need life insurance? She's going to marry somebody else, or he's going to find somebody else. You know, here's what she might say. She might say, you know, why should I leave him money to spend on somebody else?
I don't know. That's a rough attitude to have about the love of your life.
I've heard that question, not necessarily from the female side. I just put it out there that way, so I'm not accused of being biased, but it actually came from the other side, a male side, asking that question. Are you concerned about investing? I don't know if you should be. We're going to talk about what's this market upside. There's significant upside with earnings expecting to beat S&P 500. Earnings season starts next week. They're expecting it to beat by 24% or more. And then one of my advisors showed me a statement on a fixed indexed annuity. You know, we like those as one of the asset classes with par rates. Like, oh my God, they made that kind of money.
Par rate being participation.
It sounds like
you're playing golf, like a birdie or a par, or you hit for a bogey.
Yeah, we like high pars.
No, we like
big pars.
But you're saying participation rate.
We like participation rate versus cap rate. Like, don't put a limit on me. I want some upside there. The phone number to join the conversation is 504-260-0995.
Were you about to tell me about a big return on a par rate annuity?
Yeah, I said enough. Okay. 504-260-0995. You know, I'll help you out. If we have a 50% par rate and the S&P 500 grew at approximately 54% the last 12 months, what do you think your par rate comes in at?
To a very happy customer.
Yeah, that's something like 27%. Like, and I've seen numbers bigger than that. Matter of win and the par rate, but that's talking about a win. You're talking about a tool, financial tool. How much downside risk does a fixed indexed annuity have?
None. Downside. Zero. Absolutely none.
You sure about that?
Right. It can't go below zero.
You're right.
You can call the cops. Ding. And someone will get arrested.
Right. You can't go below zero. So it's nice seeing that come in, along with being in a S&P 500 ETF, knowing it's up 54% in the past 12 months. So there's a double win. And bonds, kind of flat. Okay. 2 out of 3, making you upside is not bad, is it? And then on the third, you didn't lose anything. You can't win them all. I was talking with my team about this ridiculous newsletter we send out every Monday. And they said it really connects with people. And, you know, I was just having a conversation, getting a feel for what's going on and response rates. And you could get that newsletter, the Wednesday Q&A, and connect to the Gregory Ricks Ask Gregory podcast. I have to get all these Gregories right. There's a lot of Gregories out there. And once again, through the Winning at Life, you can text, email, call the show, info@gregoryricks.com if you just want to email me over there.
Yeah, and this week's Wednesday Q&A.
James, how are you doing today?
I'm fantastic. Oh, thank you,
James Parker.
No, this week's Wednesday Q&A was, do you ever buy a falling stock? Because the phrase they like to use in the business world is, do you ever catch a falling knife? Never catch a falling knife. But it just started a great discussion.
I know. Both are scary. Mm-hmm. Like, where's the bottom?
Right. So that's if that's something that interests you, go check out the Wednesday Q&A at GregoryRicks.com.
Because that's when you compare that to buying into the index, and one thing we've shown since like 1950, the number of corrections that we had, how often we have them, average about 1.84 years. And what have they done every time? They've come back and set a record high every time. The correction comes an average of 1.84 years, but I would not bank on it because, once again, it's an average. So it could be longer before that happens. And this last time, this thing came back within a number of months, righted itself. You know, it'd been nice if that old car carrier that flipped over outside Bay of Georgia over there, it'd been nice if it could have just righted itself and they wouldn't have had to tear it all apart. That ship fell 2 years ago. It'd be nice, if a stock would right itself. But we know the S&P 500 comes back, but does all stocks come back? The answer is no. Why do we know that? Most stocks do not outperform 30-day treasuries. Why do we know that? That is historical fact. That is a known number. So if you're buying a stock on the way down, is it going to come? You don't know that. And the history of them most not beating 30-day treasuries tell us most don't come back up. But if you can compare it, let's see, should I buy a stock that's going down or the S&P 500 going down? From what I just explained to you, it's an easy answer. You can buy the S&P 500 when it's going down, because history tells us it does come back up and does eventually get to a record high. How long does it take to do so? Well, this most recent one, it just took months. The Great Recession, it took years. So this is money that if you're going to do that, grab the S&P 500 when it's going down. Just make sure that money has a wide moat, meaning a wider Suez Canal. It means you need to give it time to work and you're going to be fine. But don't grab a diving stock or a knife that's falling. Couple thoughts here continuing on. Let me see. Where am I at here? I've got the... from the numbers page. James, he keeps up with these yoga pants, especially at Lululemon. You saw they're up again, 2.13%, closed at $312.56.
Wow.
And they've got the widest margin in the industry.
Well, just...
Nike.
Second in yoga pants. But for the guy listening,
sportswear. This is sportswear, right?
Okay. But now the reason I say wow is because Gregory just came into a show maybe 3-4 years ago, said, all right, this stock's taking off. We're going to have to watch this. Put it on the short sheet. And that was when it was crossing the $100 mark. And here we are. And it's tripled since then. Tripled since we're like, hey, this is the biggest yoga pants manufacturer in the world. They're the top of the market. And they're the name brand you think about when you think of yoga pants. I mean, what's number two? Gregory just demonstrated. Well, I don't know, Nike. But,
and it reminds me, it followed Fizz. Remember, we picked up Fizz and it skyrocketed up and then kind of fell like
it went flat.
A booster without a landing gear.
No, it went
pre-test,
flat.
Pre-SpaceX, but it fell. But it didn't crash, but it dropped. But Lulu's just has kept going. It's crazy from that standpoint. So I thought I'd give mention out that. And Tesla's doing well. Also, a couple other thoughts here on the market. Let me grab another page here, see what I'm looking at. Goldman shows how to play Goldman. Another topic I was looking at on the global economic comeback with, Tesla. I've got some pretty big concerns. I watched something today I'm going to share with you in a moment. And let's see, go over here, grab some pages. This was interesting. I found from PayPal co-founder and billionaire investor Peter Thiel.
Thiel, that's the other Elon Musk. He and Elon were the PayPal guys.
Yeah. What is Peter running now?
Ooh, what is he running?
He's
running like four things.
He's not doing the Twitter, is he?
No, he's doing something else.
Who's the guy running Twitter?
Jack Dorsey.
Yeah, he worries me a little bit. Okay, Peter, I thought this was real interesting. Speaking alongside former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo at a virtual roundtable hosted by the Richard Nixon Foundation Wednesday, Till opined that assuming China is long in Bitcoin, what that means is their whole actual holding Bitcoin, sizable position, the cryptocurrency could pose a threat to the U.S. dollar's reserve currency status. The comments come at a time when fears over China's assumed control over Bitcoin are resurfacing. And he said, even though he's pro-crypto, pro-Bitcoin, maximalist person, I do wonder if this, at this point, Bitcoin could also be thought of as a part of a Chinese financial weapon against the U.S. This got my attention today. And once again, when you have a government that decides they want to be number one in the battery business globally, and I'm not talking about, you know, the little batteries you stick in your flashlight and stuff, or to crank your gasoline engine, but in this battery to power cars and stuff along those lines, the lithium batteries, let's just define it as, to become a major player in that. When they decide to do that, they decided they were going to do that at all costs. So they support that industry, and most of this stuff is mined, and they have very large mining in China, but they also do this globally and get the different minerals from other parts of the world and ship there. They control 80% of the lithium battery market. They have like 92 battery factories in China. You know how many we have in the U.S.?
I know you're signaling, but I don't want to pretend like I knew that before you told me. Four?
Yeah, it's four. It's, what would you, you'd have guessed a higher number probably.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, four. And we're going to have all electric car fleet. Everybody's going to have electric cars only by 2035. Was that ridiculous short timeline? You know, and then they're saying, oh, we got to get 50 miles per gallon gasoline car. If you're going to have that many cars run, what does it matter that a gasoline car gets per gallon?
That's a great point.
It is a very valid point if the shift is away from that. But the biggest problem is, what if China, which they control it, and we actually have a tremendous amount of minerals here in the United States, they're just not being mined. By the time you have to build out, you've got two parts. You've got to do the mining. And how would we get approval from that? Because I'm sure there's lizards that would be harmed in the process, kind of similar to laying a pipeline from Canada to the southern United States. It might harm a plant, kill a lizard. You know,
an endangered cricket or something.
I'm exaggerating a bit, but if we can't build a pipeline, which they have all these safety measures in, these things don't leak or break. And if they did, it's very limited because of the safety measures that built in. It isn't like it all just keeps flowing, even though it's broken. It would shut off. But do you realize how to mine these minerals? You have to move mountains of earth.
That's not a metaphor.
Gold mining in the Klondike is like Tonka toys compared to the earth that has to be moved. And we're moving into this, and we've got to be about doing that, because China could at one point say, you know what? We need all those materials that we're gathering from around the planet. You're on your own. Well, like I've already said, we don't have the capability to do what the administration says they're going to do. So now back to the Bitcoin thing, being they support and put up money for pretty much anything they get into, and they decide they want to control it. What's the problem? They take over and dominate it, and they'll put whatever money's into it. If they want to control Bitcoin, what do they do, James?
They mine more than everybody else.
They mine more, and they're seriously about doing it, and they wouldn't have any problem putting a lot of money into it as well. So it is something that I'll put at this point should have your attention in that way. Next thing on my mind today is I think we have a friend over on the Democratic Party side. Democrat Joe Manchin opposes eliminating or weakening the Senate filibuster under any circumstances. And he's not liking this reconciliation to solve everything. In one way, he's referring to it's prostituting what government's about. And he says it should be both sides getting involved to do this. And he's not going to let the filibuster be killed if he has anything to do with it. And he doesn't think reconciliation should be the way bills are passed either. I'm like, that's what I'm talking about. And you know where he's from?
West
Small
Virginia.
Small West Virginia state.
It's a very red state to have a Democrat senator.
And he's, I like this. You know, he says, you know what's interesting about West Virginia? He says it has two Senate seats, just like New York, Texas, and California. So we have equal weighting, which in his position, he's made West Virginia a pretty big deal from that standpoint. Another thing, football star Alvin Kamara, you know what he's doing with his money?
From Bitcoin.
First contract and his current contract.
Beanie Babies.
He's banking it.
Oh, good.
He said he does not live off of it. He learned from his mama to live within your means. You know, he said he used to eat a lot of bread and peanut butter, and he said he could go back to that as well. But he has not spent any of his first contract nor any of his current $75 million contract. He lives off his endorsement deals, and he's very particular about those. When he feels that it's somebody he can work with for a long time, does he do a deal? Now, this guy, I don't think we expect to see in bankruptcy 10 years after he's done carrying the rock. And this goes with our guy up in Minnesota.
Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins thing, yeah. Was one of those stories as well. He lived in his folks' basement, drove a used van until he got his first guaranteed contract. Then he built him a house, the webinar.
Now, the webinar, the latest episode was just finished by Gregory before the show started, and then there's three more on the schedule coming up. There's one Saturday, and no, it's not going to be during our show, and there's a couple more.
Thank good. That'd be a juggle.
Yeah. Gregory, just on the break, go do a webinar real fast. The news is about to come up. You've got 6 minutes. So go sign up for that at gregoryricks.com. This is a no-compromise webinar, and the no-compromise part isn't about you trying to get the wrestling championship, the Intercontinental Belt. This is about fighting against taxes in retirement. No compromise to the IRS. Are they aware of this? Are they okay with this webinar?
The IRS, they're unaware of it.
Okay. Well, they better not have a problem with it because you're just explaining how to use their rules.
And my guests on the show, Marty and Becky, they do a heck of a job discussing this. And I had a conversation with Marty a couple weeks ago in person when I was up in Nashville. And I'm just excited that they're doing this webinar with us. It's a lot of great information, and I like the way they explain getting to zero on taxes.
All right, so Saturday, Tuesday, Thursday, find the time that works for you. Sign up at gregoryricks.com.
A thought here, and I'm going to cover just some news items that might be important to folks, especially if they're wanting to buy 45 rounds, a hunting rifle or something like that. Biden announced he would nominate former federal agent David Chipman to the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. But I listened to this piece, and that's not quite what he was Bureau he's nominating him to, because he kept saying he was nominating him to the AFT. I'm like, is this something they've just fought? He said it like five different times, you know, the AFT knows what they're doing. And the AFT this and the AFT that.
The president did this?
Yes, oh, yes.
Man. I don't want to make fun of the old guy. All right.
I'm like, okay, I don't know. Did he have a teleprompter or something from that? But he was referring to ATF, Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. Now, he announced some actions, according to the White House, direct the Justice Department to propose a rule within 30 days to help stop proliferation of ghost guns. Have you seen a ghost gun?
Of course I've seen
it. It's firearms assembled from kits that often lack serial numbers and are difficult to trace. What is it, this little machines that...
The 3D printers can print printers. The lower thirds, the bottom half. But the thing that makes gun nuts... I'm a half gun nut. I'm not a full-blown gun nut. The thing that makes us laugh is you literally can't find me one story where someone committed a crime with one of these guns.
So you are familiar with the AFT then, right?
I'm familiar with the American Federation of Teachers.
Okay. They're also going to direct the DOJ to craft a rule within 60 days that clarifies the point at which a stabilizing arm brace effectively turns a pistol into a short-barreled rifle, subjecting that firearm to additional regulation. So we'll get some clarity there, obviously. I know James is cracking up over there.
Well, when you see surveillance video of someone knocking over a liquor store, they never have one of these plastic braces on the back of a modified pistol. It's so weird. They don't go after the guns that are used in like 98% of crimes.
He's trying, James. He's trying.
For the AFT?
Yeah. Direct the DOJ to publish within 60 days model red flag legislation, which lets law enforcement officers or family members ask a court to temporarily bar someone from assessing guns under certain circumstances. The White House says the model legislation will make it easier for states to pass their own versions of that law. Man, that is treading thin ice with the Second Amendment, right?
I don't think this is financially related news.
And then directing the DOJ to issue a comprehensive report on gun trafficking. I think gun stocks are going up.
Are gun stocks going up?
I don't know. I hadn't looked at them, but it is just, it's news. Financial news talk radio.
I would be interested in 3D printer stocks, perhaps. But the thing is I've actually looked into that for similar reasons, just thinking, man, if this new industry is getting all this hype and I catch one of these guys on the bottom floor, this is one of these things where, you know, what if you could have bought Amazon when it was $8? So you go look at it, and there's so many of these companies doing this and none of them are making a ton of money, and it's really scary. But when you see how many people are trying to get into it, you have a feeling that one of these is going to blow up and be the leader in that.
I know. But one reason of bringing it up is like, oh my gosh, what are they going to do? Are they going to take our guns? They're not.
No, they're nibbling around the edges.
We kind of made light of it there. But yeah, they're trying to work on some things. But, you know, can you legislate stopping crazy people? It just, that's a simple definition, that want to do bad things. And, you know, how many people live in the country?
330 million.
Yeah. And yeah, you have a few people that's a problem. And how do you stop them? You're not going to legislate it. Okay. You can try to do some things to help. And I think it's what they're trying to do. But, you know, for those, and I'm not a hunter, but I believe in the core rules that form this country and keeps this country free. And the right to bear arms, I think, is one of those core fundamentals. And they have a tremendous road ahead to end that. I don't think it's endable. Made that word up, but.
I hear you. Okay. I'm on board 100%.
That's just where I'm at on that, because we hear questions and, you know, and Ben, you say, well, what does this have to do with money and saving and investing? Because when I sit down with people, generally, we have ranging discussions, and some of their concerns lead from one thing to the next, like, what is happening? What is this going to lead to? Should I be concerned? And this was one of the things I just wanted to put out there. Relax. It's going to be fine.
I hear you. All right. Good stuff. All right. So for this next segment, I was inspired by a caller that we had on Saturday's show, David and Destrahan, asking about life insurance. And he was just so open, and I don't want to say innocent, but, you know, admitting that, man, I don't know what's going on here. How much life insurance do I need? And so I was preparing that for the show, and I saw this article on foxbusiness.com, and it went with it perfectly. And the article is asking, If you're considering buying life insurance, here's four questions you need to ask yourself. And the first one is why? Why buy life insurance, period? What are the benefits of buying life insurance? Why should I buy it? So that's sort of what David was asking. He was asking more why and how much to go along with that. So from the standpoint of Gregory Ricks, guy comes to you and says, Gregory, why should I buy life insurance? What are the benefits to me buying life insurance? You were on the correct page.
Well, I thought you were playing a piece from the other show, or you're not?
Well, we can't play that. We don't really have a whole lot of time. Okay. It's only 2 minutes, but we have a minute till the break.
Okay. Well, we'll start that. Would it be valuable to play it at all when we come back?
David and Destrahan, you're on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, David?
Hey, gentlemen. Just calling. I know Gregory had mentioned about upping his life insurance. I'm in my mid-30s now, trying to think about what kind of insurance needs I may have. And I was just curious if there's anybody, maybe it's your firm or anybody in particular, the Total Wealth Authority that handles or you do recommend dealing with as far as insurance matters go.
I've been in the industry, yeah, I give away my age some, for over 30 years. This isn't a second or third career. Radio is kind of an added-on career, right? I've been doing that for almost, you and I have been working together for almost 11 years. But in the financial world, I've been doing this, gosh, now I'm I'm a math guy, and
show
I just
looked
at the math, and oh my gosh, I've been doing this for almost 40 years. Lord, I'm going back to, I've been doing this for more than 30 years. I like that one sounds better.
That's it. That's just tell people you started when you were 8. I got an early start. I got my license, took my license
test. I really did, in school, I really liked compound interest. It was a fascination of mine. So I could say I started that far back there. I was a big fan of business concepts, making money, entrepreneurship. I bartered for my first lawnmower and it was broken. I fixed it at age 9 and started cutting grass for money and lemonade. Combination of the two. I had me some lemonade for lunch today. So I'm a big fan of lemonade as well. So that's kind of my background. I've got four offices. We help people across the country. We're a financial advisory firm and money managers, and we're about giving help, having discussions, relating to you, becoming a partner with you, and helping you achieve financial success, reaching that financial destination you wish to arrive at, having security, having confidence that you're going to accomplish what you're going to do. And the main thing is to not run out of money until you don't need it anymore. And that would be death kind of said. Do you need money after death? No. Okay, so that's what I'm getting at. And if you're looking for more information about me, over at gregoryricks.com, check us out. And if you'd like to start a conversation, maybe a 15-minute phone call to start things, call my office, 504-832-9200. I'll give it to you one more time so you can get ready for it. It's 504-832-9200.
Oh, yeah, being in public and doing a radio show like this is really putting yourself out there. And so over the years, as you listen to Gregory and I talk about money, when someone says they call in, they say they've been listening for years and they just wanted to ask Gregory about their current financial situation. I don't think not you, Gregory, but the guy listening. I don't think you understand what level of honor that is. We take that as a huge sign of respect that David has listened to us and then not thought, well, these guys are idiots. I'll ask someone else. This is the guy he came to. When he had, okay, I have this new situation. I want to buy life insurance. How do I know what to get? How much do I get? What does it cost? And just the fact that he called the show and asked you, a sign of respect. We really appreciate all these calls. I just want to start with that. David and Destrahan, thank you for this call. So he's in his mid-30s, just now started a family, asking the basics. How much life insurance do I need? How do I know how much life insurance do I need?
Can I shift right there? Because we have a lot of people that come in to my day job, the Total Wealth Authority of Gregory Ricks and Associates. And they like come in and says, yeah, I've listened to you for years. And now, you know, I'm retiring. I need your help. So you have a lot of people that won't call in, but they're calling into the office. They're coming in and asking questions, looking for some help. And we've put ourselves out there for 11 years now, really, almost, we're close. 11 years of taking direct calls. You ask a question and we answer it. We don't know what you're going to ask. We may have like the topic shown on the screen because they'll ask name, location, what that's your first name. We kind of like to know what area town, you're from, what town. And then the topic of the question is put on the board. That's all we know. We don't know other details whatsoever. And we're going to give you some help when you call in to the show. And the show number is 504-260-0995. Now, back to the question regarding the life insurance.
Yeah, so let's just start with the basics for Dave and Destrahan. This was the call I had on my mind when I saw this article. First off, it's four questions you need to ask yourself when you're going to buy life insurance. First off, why life insurance? What are the benefits? Why do I need this and what am I buying?
Life insurance, in one essence, is you're starting out working, starting a family, having a mortgage. Do you have in your closet a few suitcases of money if something happens?
I absolutely do not.
You do not. So in one sense, I'll say life insurance is like the opportunity to pick up dollars with nickels. The only catch is you have to die for those nickels to be converted to dollars. So for a small amount of monthly premium, you could pick up hundreds of thousands of dollars. Now, of course, the way that works is as you get older, let's say, what is your mortality? Let's say James is going to, I'll pick on James here as an example. Let's say his life expectancy is 90. And let's say today, hypothetically, he's 40. Well, now at this point in time, he's highly unlikely to die as opposed to age 80. Or did I say 90? At 90.
90.
He's highly likely to die at age 90. So you could say the premium is going to be really high at 90 and really low at 40. And we're understanding that each end of mortality. And then if you're covering for a period of time of that, you're levelizing that premium. But life insurance is the replacement of money that you were planning to have but don't have yet. So that could be used to pay off the mortgage, pay off debt, secure the business, secure the children's funding as they grow up, education and so forth, maybe college. Or make sure the wife, or put it this way, the survivor of the family, the surviving spouse, has money to keep the family moving forward. It may not be this thing that solves and sets them free going forward, but it keeps it going instead of it becoming an even greater disaster of losing the head of the household.
Question two, what does it cost? How much can you expect to pay on a monthly premium?
It's subject to how are you running that coverage. Term insurance is the low-cost way to go because you can cover for shorter periods of life, like what I mentioned, the age 40. If you're age 40 right now compared to, say, your life expectancy is 90, you're highly unlikely to die. Your premium's going to be much lower versus older ages. If you're levelizing it over trying to cover the premium for the whole next 50 years, well, it's going to be a lot higher. If you say, well, I need coverage for the next 10 years, well, then it's going to be a lot less because you're covering low mortality years.
All right. Now, how much coverage do I need? And what's the total amount should I get benefits that's enough?
I don't know. Reminds me of the story. It's a biblical story about those traveling in the desert to the birth of Christ. They were supposed to go this route. And at some point during the night, a voice told them to dismount. and pick up whatever you find, put it in a bag, and continue your journey. And they thought it was ridiculous. And so they picked up some. And they continued their journey. And the next day at daylight, they opened their pouches to see what they had. It was diamonds, rubies, emeralds. They were so glad they followed the instructions, but they wished they had had more. So when you have life insurance, when you're buying it, you don't think you need a lot because you don't think you're going to die. But if you do indeed, those that are beneficiaries of it are going to be glad you did, but they're going to wish more was bought. So at the core, you've got to cover debts is the core of that. And then sustainability, what you see is the sustainability of the family unit going forward.
All right, we'll continue this. We'll reprise this similar topic on Saturday's show. In the meantime, if you have financial questions, just direct them straight to Gregory's office, gregoryricks.com or 504-832-9200. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Gregory Ricks & Associates is an independent financial services firm that utilizes a variety of investment and insurance products. Investment advisory services offered only by duly registered individuals through AE Wealth Management, LLC. AE Wealth Management, Gregory Ricks & Associates, W.J. Blanchard Law, LLC, J. Heath & Company, and Mortgage Gumbo are not affiliated companies. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal. Any references to protection, safety, or lifetime income generally refer to fixed insurance products, never securities or investments. Insurance guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims paying abilities of the issuing carrier. This radio show is intended for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be used as the sole basis for financial decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Annuities are insurance contracts designed for retirement or other long-term needs. They provide guarantees of principal and credited interest subject to surrender charges. Annuity guarantees and protections are backed by the financial strength and claims paying ability of the issuing insurer. Hypothetical examples have been provided for illustrative purposes only. It does not represent a real-life scenario and should not be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Gregory Ricks & Associates is not permitted to offer, and no statement made during the show shall constitute legal or tax advice. Our firm is not affiliated or endorsed by the U.S. government or any governmental agency. The information and opinions contained herein provided by third parties have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed by Gregory Ricks & Associates. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.